If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, chapter 26, verse 13. You almost got a whole other sermon you weren't expecting. And you might yet. This is, again, God's holy word, Proverbs 26, 13. The lazy man says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets." Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. We need truth. In our better moments, Lord, we desire your truth, but the truth is, in our flesh, we recoil against it. Oh God, that you would make our hearts tender this morning. That, Father, you would help us in the proclamation of your word, that you would anoint with your Holy Spirit this preacher and all the hearers, Lord, that we might profit from your word. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. The lazy man that we read about in Proverbs chapter 26 is a notable figure in the book of Proverbs. He appears several times, dozens of times. In fact, if you are reading an older translation, he's called the sluggard. You know, a sluggard is a lazy person. It sort of reminds us of a slug, right? You ever see a slug? They just sort of creep along. Well, the sluggard is introduced to us very early on in the book of Proverbs and mentioned several times. He receives a lot of ink. In fact, this very proverb has a companion in chapter 22 of Proverbs. Proverbs 22:13 has a very similar proverb to the same effect, that the lazy man says that there's a lion in the road. When God repeats himself, or when God mentions something often, we ought to take notice. In fact, if God says something only once, we ought to take notice, but much more when God mentions it many times. This proverb here is really not about lions, of course, but it is about a man, the lazy man, the man who makes excuses to avoid his work. He makes excuses to avoid his duties. But we must understand that while the lazy man makes excuses to avoid work, laziness displeases God. And the lazy man will ultimately suffer loss. Therefore, God's exhortation in this passage is that we would put off laziness and rather put on diligence. Let's talk about what I mean by laziness for a minute. Laziness means not doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. We're to be slow to speak and slow to anger, but we shouldn't be slow to our duties. We can be lazy physically, lying about, just lying on the couch. We can be lazy mentally, not giving thought or careful consideration to things. We can be lazy spiritually, not applying ourselves to the truths of God's word, not clinging to the promises of Jesus Christ, not pursuing the kingdom of heaven with all of our might. But whether it's done physically or mentally or spiritually, what I want you to know is this: laziness is, at bottom, a spiritual problem. Follow me here. Laziness is a matter of the will, our desires, what we want. The will is the faculty of the soul, and the soul is spiritual. Laziness, sloth, is a problem of the soul. Therefore, it needs to be addressed by means of the soul, and the very best means by which God addresses the soul is through his word and by his Holy Spirit. Now, the lazy man, he does not do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Here are some other things that Proverbs says about the lazy man. He doesn't get started. He doesn't like to begin. Listen to this from Proverbs 26:14. "As the door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed." Kind of a hilarious picture if you think about it. Imagine having a hinge on your back, and every time you try to roll over in bed, you just go back and forth. And the point is, the man tries to move, or he moves a little bit, but he's never removed. He just goes back and forth. He never actually gets out of bed. And I don't know about you, but whenever I procrastinate, I like to do something else instead of what I'm supposed to doing, right? I should probably pray. I think I'll check my email, right? I should probably get to those dishes. I wonder what's on Netflix. You see, the lazy man, he's in his bed, he's moving back and forth, he's doing everything but the thing he ought to be doing, which is to get out of bed. You see, the lazy man does not even get started. He is hinged to the bed like a door on its hinges. He may be busy with all kinds of things, but not the very thing that he ought to be doing at that time. Well, the lazy man, if he does get started to his task, he's not likely to finish it. Proverbs 26:15 says, "The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth." Imagine sitting there on the couch with a bowl of popcorn and you plunge your hand into there. You don't even have the strength to bring it back to your mouth. Do you see, he started something. Something presumably he wanted to do. Something that offers some reward, namely the popcorn or whatever it would be. And yet he has not the strength to bring it back. You see, the lazy man, if he starts something, he doesn't see it through. How many people have started the Christian life and not seen it through? Oh, they're excited at first, aren't they? But they don't see it through. It becomes too much toil, too much effort, too difficult. The reward no longer compels them. They can't even bring the blessings to their mouth. The lazy man does not finish. Because he is lazy, the lazy man finds everything just too difficult. Everything is difficult. Listen to Proverbs 15:19. "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns." I don't know if you've ever experienced a hedge of thorns in the woods, especially when you get near the edge of where the woods meets a field and you have this hedge of thorns. Sometimes it's almost impassable. You can't make it through there. And that's what the way of the sluggard or the lazy man is like. Everything is so difficult. His laziness makes it all so difficult. There's just a hedge of thorns around him. He can't even carry forward. I know of a man who had a subordinate, and he had given the subordinate a task. Not a task that was outside of his responsibilities, and when he checked back on the subordinate to find out whether he had done the task, he heard all kinds of difficulties and how it was not possible and how it was not understandable, and the subordinate just couldn't figure out how to do it. "How do I do this thing?" And the man said, "Why don't you start by doing this? Pretend that you want to do it. Pretend that you want to do it." Do you see what I'm talking about here? It's not always a matter of ability. Sometimes it's really a matter of our desire, and that is the lazy man. That's why he finds a hedge in front of him, because he doesn't want to do it. His will is perverse and bent away from the way it ought to go. Well, the lazy man, he does not exert effort. Proverbs 21 says his hands refuse to labor. When things get tough, when there's effort required, he fails. He stops. He stops. He might break a sweat. He might get a blister. No, the lazy man, he prefers ease, comfort, whatever is easiest. He's like a gas or water. He prefers the path of least resistance. Least existence. Is there such a thing? No, he prefers ease and comfort. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 4. "The lazy man will not plow because of winter." It's too cold out. If I plow right now, I'm going to get cold. I want to stay in here by the fire where it's warm. We have in our age plenty of comfort and ease available to us, don't we? In fact, if we talked last week about idols. What are the idols of our age? And one of the idols certainly has to be comfort, ease. We avoid difficulty. We take the soft path, the easy route. Well, the lazy man, because of his predilection towards laziness, descends farther and farther into laziness. Listen to this in Proverbs 19:15. "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, Have you ever noticed if you lay about and don't do anything, how tiresome that is? The longer I lay on the couch, the more tired I get. Charles Spurgeon said, "There is no fatigue so wearisome as that which comes from a lack of work." And this is true whether work of the mind or work of the body or work of the soul, all of these things, if we do not work, if we do not exercise them, they become enmeshed, entangled, and drawn down more and more into further laziness. It descends, and next thing you know, it's in a deep sleep, a slumber. We can barely keep our eyes open. There are a lot of ways to be lazy. Maybe just I can ask you this morning, what things ought you be doing in the time that you've been given? What have you been putting off? Our work, our jobs, they require work, don't they? As do our marriages and our friendships, the raising and discipling of our children, Bible reading and prayer. The worship of God requires effort. Following after Jesus Christ requires effort. We must apply ourselves. Looking forward to the promises of God, that requires effort, spiritual toil. Resting upon the Lord, believe it or not, requires effort. We must pay attention to it. We must not be utterly passive in our Christian lives. Brothers and sisters, in what ways are you like the lazy man? What is it that you have not started that you ought to start? What is it that you're putting off? Maybe you've started something and you didn't finish it. Maybe back in January you started a Bible reading plan and you made it through Genesis or Judges, and all of a sudden you hit something like Ezekiel or Isaiah and you've kind of petered off. Can I encourage you to get back to it? Seek the Lord's forgiveness and pick back up again? Well, the lazy man, because of his laziness, makes excuses. And that's the point of this proverb, isn't it? There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. Let's look first at the danger that he proposes. There's a danger. There's a lion in the road. Not just any lion, mind you, but a fierce lion in the streets. Of course, the lion is a fierce creature. You read through Scripture and you find out that lions are a fierce creature. The lion typically will stand about 4 feet tall at the shoulders. They're over 6 feet long when they're fully grown. You add another 3 feet with the tail. That's a 9 foot long creature. This lion, when he roars, he can be heard about 5 miles away. And the lazy man says he's not 5 miles away. He's right out there in the streets. A lion is over 400 pounds. They can run 50 miles per hour. They can leap 36 feet in a single bound. Can you believe that? 36 feet in a single bound. Their teeth are about 4 inches long. Claws 1.5 inches long. Paws bigger than my head. A lion, when it catches its prey, it typically breaks its neck with one swipe of its paw. In fact, I just read back, it was only in 2013, a zookeeper in California was mauled and killed by a lion that was named Couscous, cute name, Couscous, got out of his cage and in one swipe killed the zookeeper, broke her neck, and then picked her up and tossed her around like a toy until they could coax him, had to shoot him to get him away from her. So yes, the lion is a fierce creature. You don't want to tangle with one. Certainly if there were one outside your window, there were a lion out here in the parking lot, you wouldn't want to go out there. And yet, there is no lion. See? There is no lion. It's a lie. It's a delusion, an invention. It's from his imagination. It is what we call an excuse. Note this, that the laziness precedes the lion. The lazy man says. Do you see that? The lazy man says. Why? Because he's trying to avoid work. The lazy man makes up this outlandish claim. Listen, even in ancient Israel, lions lived in the wilderness, not in the roads, not in the streets. Lions hunt at nighttime. Not in the daytime when men are supposed to be going to work. They don't live in the streets. Matthew Henry says this, "Many frighten themselves from real duties by imaginary difficulties." This lion, by the way, the typical lion, sleeps 20 hours a day. What are the chances that there would be a lion in the street at the very hour that you need to get up and go to work? More likely, it would be off in its den, sleeping. The lazy man has managed to create a creature that is lazier than himself, and he's scared of it. It is all too common for laziness to create excuses to avoid our work. It's a pretext for avoiding our duties. Back when I worked in construction, when it rained, we used to want to go home. And my boss would say, "What is it with you guys? You go hunting in the rain. You go fishing in the rain. You play baseball in the rain. You play football in the rain. And we get a little rain and all of a sudden you can't build houses. It's raining, we gotta go home." It was an excuse. In that same line of work, we used to have what we called beer clouds. You ever heard of beer clouds? It's not even raining yet, but you see clouds coming. Oh, it's a cloud the size of a man's hand coming over the hill. And we'd say, "Yeah, you know, we might need to get out of here. It looks like it's going to rain." And the boss said, "No, it's not going to rain. Those are just beer clouds. That's just an excuse. You want to go home and drink beer and not build houses. So those are beer clouds." That was our lion in the street. Do you understand? That was the excuse we came up with, because what our desire was to do something other than what needed to be done at that time. But you see, the danger is a delusion, isn't it? The lion isn't, there is no lion in the streets. It's foolishness. By the way, there isn't in Scripture, in 1 Kings chapter 13, a man who was actually killed by a lion in the road. He was the man of God who disobeyed the word of God and therefore in broad daylight was eaten in the road by a lion. But I would say that most of the time, unless you are disobeying the word of God, you should not fear a lion in the road. The problem with the lazy man, though, is he deceives himself. He tells the lie, and probably most no one is believing him except himself. He's tricked himself. He stands by his excuse. Listen to this in a couple verses later in Proverbs 26. This is Proverbs 26:16. "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." Do you see that? You could say, "Come on, man, there's no lion out here." You're not going to persuade him. He's wiser in his own eyes. He's made up his mind. He's following the science or being prudent. The truth is, the lazy man fancies himself very wise. He thinks he's a prophet. There's a lion in the street. You might not see it yet, but I'm telling you, by the end of the day, there will be a lion out there. He might even consider himself a hero. "I'm giving you just warning. I'm just doing the sensible thing. I'm prudent." No, the lazy man is a fool. He's a liar. He's a coward. What excuses are we putting in the ways of our duties? What lions in the streets do we have? What are the things that are preventing us from doing our duties? We might be able to convince one another about these things a little bit, right? We might be able to convince ourselves, but God knows the real story. I know that the last 18 months have given us many occasions for many lions in many streets, haven't they? There have been many opportunities for us to indulge laziness. I'm not a prophet, but it seems to me the drumbeat is coming again, and that will become a possibility again. There will again perhaps be the opportunity to have lions in the street or a virus in the street. What will be our response? Will that be an excuse for us? Or will we ask ourselves, what do I need to do right now? And then set about to doing it. More than that, suppose there really were a lion in the street. Suppose there really were a lion in the street. Would we not rather face a lion than God? Listen to this from Psalm 91, verse 13. The Lord says, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." Daniel was perfectly at peace in a den of lions. And the sluggard, the lazy man, is terrified by an imaginary lion. What's the difference? Daniel's heart is set on obeying the Lord. That's the difference. See, the lazy man says, "There's a lion in the streets," because he doesn't want to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Interestingly, if you go to Jerusalem, to Israel today, and even the whole region of Palestine, you don't find any lions in the wild anymore. They were hunted to extinction by crusaders sometime between the 12th and 13th century. You can say what you will about the crusaders, but they weren't cowards. They weren't lazy. The lazy man says, "There's a lion in the street," and the crusaders said, "There's lions all over here. Let's hunt them and kill them." But shouldn't we rather be more like that? Whatever it is that is the impediment, whatever it is that is keeping us from doing what God has called us to do, why not rather face that than disappoint the Lord? So the lazy man makes up an excuse. We make up excuses. I could tell you some of mine. You could tell me some of yours. What are our excuses? Perhaps the excuse matches the occasion. In any case, our excuses are as thin. They're as thin as the strength that we have to stand up against the real dangers, the strength that we have to stand up against what God has called us to do. There are no lions in the streets, beloved. But do you want to know what is in the street? Work. The tasks to which God has called us. There are people in the streets. There are opportunities in the streets. There's commerce, there's industry, there's exchange of ideas. There's a lot of things in the streets. Not lions, but work. But the man who shuts himself up in his house misses out on those things. Not only does he miss the work, but he misses the reward that comes with the work. Consider for a moment, beloved, the Lord's appraisal of laziness. How does God look upon laziness? Proverbs 18, verse 9 says this, "He who is slothful in his work is brother to him who is a great destroyer." So the guy who is lazy is similar to or like, right? He's the brother to, he's the twin of the guy who is the great destroyer. So someone who would rape and pillage and destroy a village, that's God's opinion of him. Listen to this from Proverbs 10:26. "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." You ever sit by a campfire and you get the smoke in your eyes? Or sit downwind from someone smoking? It irritates your eyes. We don't have much occasion to get vinegar in our mouths, but if you ever have, you know it sets your teeth on edge, doesn't it? It's an irritant. It's an annoyance. It's something not pleasurable. The lazy man is like that to God. He's like that to those who send him, right? He's like that to his employer or to his parents. But hasn't God sent you? Hasn't God given you tasks? Hasn't he called you and given you things to do? His impression of laziness is that it's an irritant. Do you want to be like smoke in God's eyes? I don't. We read it in the parable of the talents. What did Jesus say to the man who had an excuse? "You wicked and lazy servant." Jesus cut right through the excuse, didn't he? He saw it for what it was. You had a job to do. I told you to do something. You had a job to do, and you didn't do it. That's the problem here. The problem is not that I'm a hard man who does these things or does those things. No, those are lions in the streets. The real problem is you're wicked and lazy. God saw right through it. But you see, the lazy man, because he won't come out of the house, he suffers loss. He misses out not only on the work, but the reward that comes with it. Proverbs 6:10-11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Poverty comes on you like a robber. You don't expect it. You don't desire it. It overpowers you, an armed man. If it were up to you, you would not give your goods to an armed man. But now that he's come and he's armed, he surprised you, he can have whatever is yours. And that's what poverty does to the lazy man. It will come upon us. And this, by the way, Proverbs is not just speaking about physical things. Understand this. This is speaking too about spiritual things. We can be lazy in our souls. We can be lazy about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can become spiritually poor, not having those things which He offers to us, because we are not willing to apply them. We are not willing to pursue them. We are not willing to exercise them. The soul of a lazy man desires, says Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the lazy man desires. It wants. Being lazy doesn't make our needs and desires go away, and has nothing. You see, the lazy man loses out. His excuse can't provide for him. An idle person will suffer hunger, Proverbs 19:15. He will beg during harvest and have nothing, Proverbs 24. And when I mention the word harvest, I hope that you can also think about that final harvest on the last day when the Lord returns. If we are not willing to exercise the things that God gives us in the planting, what will we expect in the harvest? Jesus said, "You wicked and lazy servant, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Why? Because the man with 10 talents actually worked. He actually didn't make excuses. He put effort into what the Lord had given him. And listen to what happens. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." You understand he's talking about hell, right? If we become lazy enough, we become numb. We fall into that deep sleep and our souls don't respond to God as they ought. And we miss out. We lose. And those excuses that we invent will never be able to deliver us from the Lord. Those who eat the bread of idleness will drink the cup of God's wrath. They go together. The excuse in the parable of the talents did not satisfy the master. The wages of laziness are loss. But it doesn't have to be this way for us. No, instead, we know that God does not like laziness and he prefers diligence, applying ourselves diligently. Therefore, we must, by his grace, put off laziness and put on diligence. You see, a lazy man makes excuses to keep from doing what needs to be done, but God prefers that we do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Therefore, we need to put on diligence. Now, by diligence, I mean just that, doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Being quick to our duties, even if that requires effort, even if that requires stretching ourselves, even if that requires obtaining new skills, even if that requires perhaps, you know, consider the parable of the talents. Not everyone in the parable had the same talents, did they? And not all of them, the man with 2 talents was still rewarded. He didn't have as many talents to give back. But the Lord rewarded that faithful effort, didn't he? So let's contrast for just a moment. Laziness and diligence. Proverbs 10:4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 10:4. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Notice that. The soul shall be made rich. Beloved, I told you, this is not just talking about earthly things. Do you want a rich soul? Do you want a soul that is rich towards God? Don't be lazy in your pursuit of Christ. Don't make excuses. The hand of the diligent will rule, Proverbs 12:24 says, but the lazy man will be forced to labor. So one gets to become a king or a prince or a ruler of some kind, and the other becomes a slave. Didn't Jesus say something about being slaves to sin? Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. Do you see that? God delights in diligence, and he's pleased to reward it. So laziness brings loss, but diligence brings gain. If we prefer gain, then we must put away our excuses. We must put off laziness, and we must put on diligence. How do we put off laziness and put on diligence? Here are a couple of ways that we can do that. First of all, seek the Lord. We do this by faith. Everything that we have, everything that we need, rather, is in Jesus Christ. And we seek it from him who gives to us. Ask him for the strength that you need to do the task he's given you. He is not cruel. He is not harsh. He is not unjust. And when he gives you a task, you can trust him to give you what you need to complete that task. Notice in the parable of the talents were given before the master went away. He will give you what you need for that task. Children, the Lord was able to give to Samson the strength to defeat the Philistines. He can give you the strength you need to finish your homework and brush your teeth and clean your rooms and pick up after yourselves and do what daddy and mommy tell you. It's the same strength. The same God gives the same strength to Samson and to you. Be like Hannah. Do you remember Hannah? She was barren and she desired a child and she prayed to the Lord. And she said, if you give me this child, I will dedicate him to you. Be like Hannah. Say, Lord, if you will give me the strength, the energy, the desire, the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom, if you will give me what it is I need to serve you, I will give that to you. You think God won't honor that? If you will devote to God what he gives you? Be like Hannah. Pray that prayer. Lord, give me what I need to please you, and I will devote it to you and all the fruit of it. Another way that we can put off laziness and put on diligence is to consider the examples that God sets before us, both positive and negative. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's the ant, right? Go to the ant, you sluggard. And we look at the ant, and it's just this little bug. He barely even has a brain. And yet he works. He's diligent. He's industrious. He does this marvelous work. He's just doing what God made him to do. And God directs human beings to go. Look at the ant. See what he does. I have read that a horse that runs slow and sluggish, that if you will put a faster horse next to him, you can actually make that lazy horse run faster. Sometimes that's what we need, isn't it? We need an example. We need a pace. We need something before us to encourage us, to get us past the excuses, past the discomfort. Consider people in Scripture who by diligence obtained God's favor. Consider Ruth, who gleaned the field until evening. Consider Paul, who labored day and night in the gospel. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who, Mark tells us, would get up early, long before daylight, to go and pray. And then he would minister to crowds of despicable sinners all day long. He labored. He worked. He did not make excuses. Beloved, it has been said that the Lord Jesus Christ marched to the cross more willingly than we to heaven. Aren't you glad our Savior was not lazy? Aren't you glad he did not make excuses? Had there been a lion in the way, and there were lions in his way, but what did he do? He trampled on them. He defanged them. He tore them to pieces. He stepped over them, whatever it took. He did not make excuses, but rather did it for the sake of the joy that was set before him. For you, the Lord was not lazy. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." He found strength and nourishment, but I tell you the truth, you too will find strength and nourishment. Sometimes it's amazing. It's opposite of what we might think. We feel like we can't do something. We're too tired to do it. But then if we push past and we do it, we find that the Lord invigorates us and gives us the strength. Sometimes the strength is found in the doing. There are also negative examples. Think of Eli, that lazy priest and his lazy sons. Eli was too lazy to discipline himself and too lazy to discipline his sons. And it ended in disaster for them. Another means by which we can put off laziness and put on diligence is to remember the rewards for diligence and the loss for laziness. Remember we read in Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." That's a promise from God. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Look forward to that reward. Expect it. Let that propel you on. Proverbs says that a man's hunger propels his labor. Hunger spiritually. Hunger for the things that God has for you. The Lord Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Fourthly, one more way to put off laziness and put on diligence. Do something. Get started. Sometimes you just have to do something. It may not be perfect. It may not be the final say on the matter. It may not be the end of it, but just get started. Remove the excuses and just get started. I often feel like this, by the way, with sermons or anything in my work. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be glorious. I want it to be excellent. At the end, I just have to accept, I want it to be faithful. I want it to be finished. I want it to be, right? Sometimes we have to just get started and understand that even imperfect obedience is more pleasing to the Lord than settled disobedience. Do you understand that? That sometimes it's better to do even a little something than nothing at all. So just do something. If the axe is dull, many blows accomplish the task. If we are imperfect in our obedience, God can instruct us. God can help us to grow up into better obedience, but we have to start. So just do something. Beloved, don't fear imaginary lions. Take those excuses away. You don't need to fear them. They're not real. They're impediments. And here's the question I want you to ask yourselves. Is this something I must do? And then a second question. Is this something I must do now? If the answer to those questions is yes and yes, then do it. Do it. Put off the excuses and do it. Well, you don't need to fear those imaginary lions, but I do want you to become aware of two very real lions. The first lion I want to mention is your enemy, the devil, about whom Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." There's a lion that you could be afraid of. That's a real lion. But here's the thing. If you will resist him and rest on Jesus Christ, you don't need to fear even that lion. You need not fear that lion because the Lord Jesus has already defeated him. So then resist him, flee sin, and cling to Christ, and he's a pussycat. But there is one more lion, a lion whom you should fear. This is, of course, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the same as that man in the parable of the talents. He's that man who's gone off to a far country, leaving behind talents. He's entrusted you with his goods. That man says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." The Lord Jesus has given you talents, and he's given you a task with them, and he's given you time to complete it. Someday he's going to return to settle accounts. He will not accept excuses. Let's not make excuses. Let us instead be diligent. Pray with me. Father, forgive us for our laziness, please. Forgive us, Lord, for where we have made excuses and deceived ourselves. And Lord, if we are laboring even right now under the pretense of some excuse, deliver us. Remove the veil from our eyes. Oh God, that you would equip us, that you would give us the strength. That you, Lord, would give us the strength and wisdom and courage to do what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.